You got me? All right. I'm going to say something some of you are not going to understand, especially you young people. I was born out here in Peppertown. You don't even call it that anymore, do you? Don't even call it that anymore. And back at the end of the 40s after the war, and my wife was raised by folks from up north, so she don't even get it. But when you hear the kind of music you've had this morning, when you got that redneck blood running through you a little bit, or you catch yourself tapping your foot, wanting to clap your hands and say, "Glory to God in the highest." But anyway, wow. Man. Brother, you did good. Really good for a white boy. I mean, really good. But that was good stuff. I appreciate that so, so much. We're going to be in Jonah, if you want to find that hurriedly, please. Book of Jonah. I want to give you something. I'll tell you why I want to give it to you in just a minute. But we're starting. I'm going to read from a few places today. But I want you to, if you would, I'll start reading. You know the story of Jonah. But I want to give you something here that I know it's going to help you, because it's me, but because it comes from the Bible. But God is just so, so good. And we'll start with that. But we were driving here. You know what I found out? If you drive 90 miles an hour, 10 to 12 hours a day, you can get from my house to here in 2 days. You really can. And as we was driving along there, my wife was reading her Bible, and she just said, "Wow." And I said, "What?" And she said, "Look here." And what she was reading is, as I was driving in the Bible, she was reading when God had to open up the earth and swallow up Korah and that bunch of backsliders. Remember that story? And they still, the next day God shows up in the tabernacle, they still ain't right with God. And she said, "I would have been scared to death. I mean, I'd have been, God, what you going to do next? Man, I'd have been on my face getting right with God." And she looked at me and she said, "What's the problem?" And get mad at me if you want to this morning. I'm leaving in a couple hours. I said, they had the same problem then we have today. No fear of God. Now, I love you. Now, you don't believe that, but I do. But we're living in a day and age that God said was going to come. And we have lost the fear of God. Brother, I can remember having kids when I first got saved, because I was going through a war and got through the Marine Corps and married and had kids. Everything. That's where I ever got saved. But I can remember when I got saved, I'm not perfect like you people. Man, I'm wicked. And I was very wicked when I got saved. Aren't you glad that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound? Amen. And when I got saved, I'd have the tendencies not to want to go to church or not want to do right. I want to read my Bible and pray every day. And I had tendencies would pop up as a new babe in Christ that I just didn't want to do right. And you know what kept me going? Made me do right? I didn't want something bad to happen to one of my kids. Now you say, "Well, that's foolishness." No, that's the fear of God. And then I got over that. And that's a sad day when you get over something like that. Now listen to me carefully. And I'd even pray and I'd say, "God, give that back to me." But it seemed like it didn't come. Then I started having grandkids. Oh, my soul. If you think you love your kids, wait till you have grandkids. Son. It's not even close. I love you. And I don't want to make you youngins mad talking about your kids now. Not to make you think we don't love you. But ain't no comparison with love to a kid and love to a grandkid. There just ain't no comparison. And I got that fear back, because I didn't want something to happen to one of them because of my stupidity. And that kept me serving God. Man, I had two grandsons just get married. I mean, just now got married. Matter of fact, one of them and their wife will be here in 2 weeks from today. Now, right here. Just think about that. Did you? And nothing's happening, don't get me wrong. But within the next couple of years, I'm going to be a great grandpa. I'm already a great grandpa. But I'm talking about great grandpa. You know what I'm saying, do you? It's not going to be long. Yeah. And I'm hoping that fear of God, that I didn't want anything bad to happen to my kids. And I didn't want anything bad to happen to my grandkids. And I don't want anything bad to happen to my great grandkids. I hope I can keep that fear. Just keep on going till Jesus comes or I go. But we're living in a day and age. And I'm going to say some things to you this morning. It may make you mad. But I promise you it's the truth because it comes from the Bible. We're living in a day and age where we're going through the motions, if you please. And the sermon I'm going to preach this morning is, what happens when you hang a do not disturb sign on your heart? Most of us, including preachers, either are doing it right now, or we have done it. Church members are the same way. At some time in our life, we sort of hung that do not disturb sign on our heart and said, God, leave me alone. And you know why? We lost the fear of God. What's God going to do? Now, listen to me. I have seen people turn their back on God. Listen to me carefully. I'm talking about preachers and good Christians, good church members. Turn their back on God, and they thought they was getting away with it because they went years and years, some 20, some 30 years. Just recently now, a man came. He worked with me in the ministry. He worked with me there building buildings. Left his wife, left his kids, run off. And he kept making a brag that, must not be too bad. Been 30 years now, nothing's happened. 3 months ago, we had his funeral. I hope you'll sit and listen to me this morning. Because I want to give you something here. In Jonah chapter 1, you know the story, but let me just read a few verses here. Begin in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But, Jonah, there he is, button. We got too much billy goat religion going around. Yeah. We need to quit button and start bowing. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. In other words, I'm going the opposite direction of where God wants me to go. Am I saved? Yes. Am I a child of God? Yes. Now, wait a minute. He didn't just happen to get over there. He rose up to go away from God. Is anybody listening? He planned this all night long. He didn't just wind up somewhere because somebody else did wrong. No one to blame but him. The clear calling of God came upon him to go do. And by the way, when he finally did what God told him to do, it worked out pretty good. A whole city got saved. But the Bible said he arose to go into Tarshish. How? From. Boy, you ought to circle that word from. From the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. By the way, if you want to get on the devil's boat, the devil will pay the fare, but it'll cost you something. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now watch this carefully. But the Lord sent out a great wind and the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it from them. But Jonah, watch this now. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. We many times, as you've traveled as much as I do to preach and go around, I think I live either in an airplane or a motel room. And sometimes you get a chance just to hang that do not disturb sign on the door so that maids and everybody leave you alone. And that happens a lot. Jonah here was going away from God, not to God. It's a short way away from God, but a long way back. And here he was going away from God on purpose. By the way, he had to know right from wrong because God had dealt with him before this. Listen to me. When you walk in with God to the point God can come and talk to you, he knew better. Don't go around feeling sorry for him. He knew better. He absolutely knew better. And for sake of time, and I hope you, so listen to me. In the book of Song of Solomon, in chapter 5, verses 2 through 6, there's an amazing story. This lady had gone to bed, and she couldn't sleep because the one she loved was on her mind. And she just tossed and turned and tossed and turned. But about that time, she heard a knock on the door. Now go home and read Song of Solomon for yourself. You think I'm lying to you. A knock came upon the door. But she had a do not disturb sign on the door. So she just lay there. She didn't get up and do nothing. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that he kept knocking. And a few minutes later, she said, "Man, I love him so much, I got to let him in." She jumped up, went to the door. And the Bible says, but he was gone. But he was gone. That scares me. That scares me. Then we get to Proverbs chapter 1, and God is dealing with these people. And God said, "I stretched forth my hand, and no man regarded." Here's Jonah, got away from God. He's down in the ship, sound asleep. "Don't disturb me." Here's a woman with the one she loves come knocking on the door, but she had a do not disturb sign on the door. But when she finally came to herself and got up, he was gone. Then God said, "Listen, I stretched off my hand." Can you imagine God loving you so much? And by the way, get mad at me if you want to. We're a bunch of wicked sinners. If you're saved, you ought to thank God, but you're still just a sinner saved by grace. And the God of heaven reached down his hand to someone like us. Boy, that's enough right there to make you shout. But the next part of the story is sad. He said, "I stretched forth my hand, but no man regarded." Hey, God, do not disturb me. I'm doing what I want to do. Leave me alone. That's the day and age we live in. That is the day and age that we live in. I know in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, we're talking about the churches in the last. I understand all that. Don't get me wrong. But God himself said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door unto me, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." You know why we come to church? So God can knock on our door. Through the power of the preaching. Holy Spirit conviction. The power of God comes into a place. And by the way, we can have a meeting 50 times a day if we wanted to. But what we're looking for is to have a group of people come in wanting something from God. And when you want something from God, he'll show up. And when God shows up, things change. Amazing things happens when God shows up. Would you show up where you wasn't wanted? I'm going to be honest with you folks. I got enough country in me. You don't want me around, I won't be there. If you even hint, I guarantee you, I'll be friendly to you, but I won't be around you very much. I won't go. It's hard for me to go spend a night in someone's house who wants me. It is. I think, good night, I'm barging in on people, you know, and life's too short. Companies like fish, after about 3 days, it begins to smell. And I have such a hard time with that. But there's people I love and I know they love me, so I go and do it. But I'll give you an example. Last night I had one of the best meals I ever had in my life. You don't know what you have until you no longer have it. When you get in the backside of the desert where I live, you don't get my wife finally learned how to make a beautiful garden. So once a year we get all that fresh stuff. Around here you can have it any time. Last night, good night, we had beans and peas and okra. Don't tell anybody because it's only known here in West Florida. We had fried cornbread. Southern sweet tea. Vine ripe tomatoes. Cut thick. Grilled pork chops. Let's just quit and go to holidays. But what am I saying? I'm saying it's hard because you love someone. You don't want to put them out. But watch this carefully. When you see the joy on their face, it brings them for doing something for you. God said, "Hey, Here's my hand. I want to do something for you. And if you could just see the smile on the face of God, you'd shout this place down. Guarantee it. Now watch this carefully. Let me stay with me for just a minute. I was preaching in Maryland. And they had this, and I don't know anything about it, don't want to know anything about it. They had the biggest dog show in history. They have it every year up there. Westminster Abbey, I don't know what they called it. But I was there during that same weekend preaching. And as people dancing, their dogs are dancing, they're walking around like that. And they judge these. Never mind, I don't get it. I'm too country bumpkin to get it. But all the motels were just packed out. And where the preacher had me staying was very busy, dogs barking all night. And he said, Brother Chitty, he said, we've got nothing planned for in the morning. Nothing planned for in the morning. I'll pick you up about 11, we'll go to lunch. I got nothing planned for in the morning. And he said something real spiritual, like, it'll give you all morning to read your Bible and pray, which is a good thing. We should do that. All I was thinking was, amen. So I got the do not disturb sign. I opened that door and I put that do not disturb sign on that motel door. Buddy, I went to bed. About daylight. Housekeeping! Housekeeping! And I was trying to stay saved, but I was mad. I mean, hot. You've never been that way, so you have to forgive me for being that way. I got angry. And I snatched that door open. I ripped into that dear woman like you've never been ripped into. I was wanting to spit her, pick her head off and spit down in the hole. I mean, I'm ripping! And she's sitting there looking like I've lost my mind. And she looked back down the door and looked at me. And I said, can't you see the sign? I'm trying to get some rest this morning. Do not disturb! She looked at the sign. She looked at me. And I looked down at the sign. I had turned the sign around backwards. The sign did not say, do not disturb. The sign basically read this: clean room quickly, maid service requested. It's hard for a man to eat that much crow. I think about it. I'm sitting there begging God to forgive me, begging her to forgive me. I said, ma'am, I am so sorry. I'm tired. I'm grumpy. I'm old. And I thought I had to do not serve. She said, sir, you had it backwards. I said, I see that now. And lady, I'll do anything if you'll just forgive me. She said, no, I understand. And she didn't, but she said she did. Here's what happens. Stay with me for just a second. That's what we're doing in our lives. We have this sign that says on one side, do not disturb. But on the other side, it says, God help me. Which sign do you hang on your heart? Which sign do you hang on your heart? Here's a story. And I'll give it to you. I'll get to the message here. God wants to do a work in our lives. Well, I'm just content with coming to church on Sunday morning, hang the rest of it, live the way I want to the rest of the time. That's the problem. But God literally, I love you, buddy, but God wants to do a work in you, but not just you. If you name the name of Christ, there's come a time in your life when you meant it. I ain't talking about getting religion or turning over a new leaf, but it comes a time in your life when you honestly trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, shall be. And it's not this church, it's not this preacher. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man come to the Father but by me. This church can't save nobody. Brother, I love you. You're a good man. But you can't save nobody. You tell somebody how to be saved. You tell them about the one who can. But it's Jesus that has to do it. So please listen to me just a second. Please listen to me. God wants to do a work in every one of us. Boy, this guy went over here and look what he's doing. This guy went here, look what he's doing. This guy stayed here, look what he's doing. What about looking at you and seeing what you're doing? God literally wants to do something with every one of us. Here's the problem. God wants to do a work in our lives, but here it comes.
But Satan, pride, laziness, worldliness, just being too busy, has rocked us to sleep. And we don't want to be disturbed. I'm talking about good saved people, good preachers. We have got so into this world. Okay, I'll give you an example. Christians used to be here and the world was here. Stay with me. And then the world went to here. What did Christians do? And look where we are today. We're sleepwalking. Spiritually, we're sleepwalking. And we got a sign that says, don't disturb. Leave me alone. Getting quiet here. It has literally, I'm talking about literally, our sorriness, our Satan's attacks, and our own pride and our own laziness. And nobody wants to admit they're lazy. We don't want some preacher to tell us we're lazy, but we're lazy. Our worldliness. If liberal Christians years ago saw how us so-called good Christians are living today, they'd be heartbroken. They'd be heartbroken. Why? Well, we've been rocked to sleep. You know, some people talk in their sleep. My wife's a school teacher. 40 years school teacher. Still teaching. Laying in bed one night. And she said, stop it! Shut up! Pay attention! I shut up, sat up, paid attention. I'm missing in the middle of the night. Then I realized she's asleep. Is anyone listening to me? And I, for 30 minutes, listened to my wife teach school in her sleep for 30 minutes. Finally, she went off back to sleep, and I thought, I wouldn't want her for a teacher, bless God. I know that right away. You know, some people sleepwalk, and it looks foolish. It looks crazy. It looks stupid. I woke up. I used to walk my sleep when I was a kid. We lived down here. Uncle Fate Chitty lived over here. Ma lived in the middle. And my dad Don Chitty lived over here. One morning I woke up between my house and Uncle Fate Chitty's house. With nothing on but my underwear. As a little boy. And I'm sitting there going, how did I get here? You know what I did? I ran as hard as I could back to the house. I wonder what happens when one time sometimes we wake up and we're not where God wants us. Did we just stand there naked or run back to Him? We don't run back to Him because we're not afraid. We've lost the fear. If we had the fear, we'd run back to Him as fast as we could get there. Amen. But here's the message this morning. We are spiritually asleep. But that's not the worst part. The worst part, while we are walking and supposedly serving God and doing what we're supposed to do correctly, what we're doing, we're sleepwalking, and that's bad enough. But while we're sleepwalking, we've put a do not disturb sign on our heart and said, God, leave me alone. I'm okay the way I'm going. And we wonder why there's no power in churches anymore. We wonder why there's no more power in preaching. You preach the truth and people get mad at you. Come to your church and just let her rip potato chip, and I guarantee you, you'll lose half your crowd. Why? Because they got a do not disturb sign. They don't want to be disturbed. Leave me alone. Don't preach to me. Leave me alone. I'm saved enough. God help us. I guarantee if Jesus came back today, I don't know how many of us in this modern day would get picked up. Well done, our good and faithful servant. I wonder how many of us. We're asleep. We're asleep in our relationship to our service. They asked Jonah, what's your occupation? What's your service? He didn't say a preacher. What's your occupation? What is your service? We're comfortable where we are. By the way, Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23 said, be sure your sin will find you out. Now, I didn't say that. God did. Be sure your sin will find you out. Don't bother me, Lord, in my service for you. I'm comfortable where I am. After all, I do go to church on Sunday mornings.
So does the devil.
Amen. Yeah. Study it out. Yeah. Going to heaven one day.
The devil goes to and fro every day. Well, but I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't dip and run around with women that do. Neither does that fence post out there. You're as dead as that fence post.
We're asleep in our relation to our service for God. God, don't disturb me about revival. Revival? Monday night football, you want me to go to that church to a revival? God, don't disturb me about revival. God, don't disturb me about church. I'll do the best I can. But
by the way, that's the biggest lie you've ever told yourself or the devil's ever told you. There's not anybody in this room doing the best you can. I'm doing the best I can. How many people did you tell about Jesus this week?
No, I'm just wondering. I just wonder how many gospel tracts you took out of your pocket and gave to somebody this week. Hey, man, this has been a blessing to me. I'm sure it'd be a blessing to you. Boy, there's about our church on the front, on the back of it's Bible verse telling you how to go to heaven. You still think you're doing the best you can? Did you give a tithe and an offering? If not, you're a thief. There's a friend of mine who has a church in Brighton, Colorado, just north of Denver. Big church. Never passes an offering plate. I go preach for him. He gives me good love offering. But he never passes an offering plate. And I asked him, I said, what's going on? I don't get it. You got this big, I mean, they got a big school, big beautiful buildings. It's amazing what they've got. By every door, there's a little box with a slip in it where you can put stuff in it. And I said, well, man, I don't understand how that works. Oh, he's a cowboy. Oh, Brother Chitty, a tither's a tither and a thief's a thief. But are we doing the best we can? God, don't disturb me about revival. By the way, don't disturb me about my sin. Don't you ever preach about my sin. Now, you get her, though. Boy, you let her have it. Ooh, you leave my sin alone. I got this pet sin. Don't you hurt my feelings about my sin. You soft pedal when you get around my sin. But on her sin, let her rip. I don't want you preaching on my sin because I got this do not disturb sign on my heart. I got it. By the way, don't bother me, God, about my not only my service, my service for you, God. I'd rather, you talk about kids going to sing this week. Our kids love to sing. Can't sing a lick, but love to sing. They speak Navajo, and they got a broken, when they try to speak English, it's more of a broken type accent. And we've got one little boy, bless his heart, he couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. But he'll volunteer to sing every service you'll let him. He writes songs. He writes sermon outlines. I preached one of them one time. Good one. He ain't that big. Worst singer you've ever heard. And if he's singing with his sister or somebody else, he wants you to know he's up there, so he tries to out-sing them and get ahead of them and louder. And it's horrible. But I'd rather have somebody like that than somebody sitting out there that can. Don't get up here and do it. Amen. Don't bother me about my service. Jonah, what's your occupation? But by the way, the Bible says that the fields are white already under harvest. So there ain't nothing wrong with the harvest. Stay with me. But he said, but the labors are few. You see, there's no problem with the field. The problem is with the labors. Amen. But by the way, we used to grow a lot of cotton in this area. I don't know what you grow now. I've seen mostly around this area when I was a kid, it was peanuts. Don't know what it is now, but it used to be. Man, if you drove from up to Hartford or up to Dover, wherever you went, you'd find peanut fields everywhere. But that was the main crop. But you get a big crop, the best crop in the world. I mean the best crop in the world out there. If you don't have laborers to go get it, it'll rot in the field and die. And the field becomes no good. Same thing with us. If we don't go out and get the lost, they're going to die in the field. And before long, the field dies. And I think that might be where America is right now. You could take You can take the richest soil, best soil in the world, brother, and it doesn't do anything but driving by and talk about how pretty and rich and black that dirt is. Some seed has to be planted before the field's any good. Bonifay, Florida is a field. Who's planting the seed? Who's planting the seed? Well, it ain't going to be me. Can't you see? God, can't you see? I got a do not disturb sign on my heart. Don't bother me about that. Don't disturb me about lost souls, God. People dying, going to hell. Summer's ended, and we're not saved. I looked to my left, I looked to my right, but no man cared for my soul. He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. But don't disturb me about that. Boy, I'm glad that somebody got disturbed, come knock on my door and told me how to be saved.
Amen.
And I've tried to return the favor. I try to tell others how to be saved. I hate going to a funeral, not knowing if that person's in heaven or not. So when I do a funeral, you know what I like? I like to tell the elders about the time that I witnessed to that person. Well, they may not have got saved, but their blood ain't on my hands. Amen. We're asleep in our relation to our service. Number two, we're asleep in our spiritual loves and our spiritual lives. Because if we don't love it, we don't do it. Where a man's heart is, there will his treasure be also. Is that not in the Bible? You go down into Mexico. Listen to me now. You go down in Mexico, TV and Western shows, they call them villages. You get down there, they call them rancheros, little villages. And I'm talking about dirt floors, the shackiest, ugliest house you've ever seen. But right in the middle of every one of these little villages, a huge, beautiful Catholic church. And I asked, how can that be? How can that be? With all these slums and horrible houses and dirt floors, and yet that big, beautiful Catholic, how's that possible? And the fellow said, little Chitty, people always give to what they love. Why? Because where the heart is. Where the heart is. We're asleep in our spiritual life. God wants a close relationship with us. Did not he say, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you? That means draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. Did he not say, go a little farther? Would it be okay to go a little deeper? Maybe it would be. But we say, do not disturb. Now, this is where you're going to get mad. Those you taking notes, put an asterisk. This is where you're going to get mad. Ready? God wants to use us. He wants to draw closer to us. He wants us to draw closer to him. He wants to go a little farther for him than we've ever done. By the way, what is it you once did for God you no longer do it? Think about that question for a second. What is it you once did for God you no longer do it? Well, I know John 3:16. How about going a little deeper? How about going a little deeper once in a while? God wants a close relationship with us, but we say do not disturb. I have ball. Preacher, I can't come to church anymore on Sunday because now the little leaguers play ball on Sundays. So I have ball. You understand? I can't be in church anymore. I have ball. Get quiet. Preacher, I can't because I have hobbies. I have money to make. I got hunting to do and fishing to do and golf to play. Shopping. That's why some people can sit in church, clean their fingernails, stay with me now, read something other than the Word of God, sit and stare at a baby. Won't you stare at the baby Jesus? He died for you. They'll get up and get down. Go in and go out. Some of them even do this. They're saying, do not disturb. Do not disturb. Some will go even further than that. They'll balance their checkbook in church. And now the new one, they text in church. You would not believe this hick preaching to us this morning. He should have stayed in the desert. You know what you're saying? God, do not disturb. Don't disturb me. Don't just leave me alone. You can't, by the way, you can't do much with people that's got a do not disturb sign on their heart. You can preach till you're blue in the face. You can love them, pray, beg God. You know what Moses did that sorry outfit when God decided to kill that bunch? Fell on his face and prayed for him because he loved them. But you know why they was in the mess? They had do not disturb sign on their heart. You can preach till you're blue in the face. I mean, you can do the best job you could possibly do. But you can't do much with people that's got a do not disturb sign on their heart. There's people sitting here right now that literally came wanting something for God. And there's people sitting here, it's church time, let's say go to church. That's it. Seriously. Don't bother me. Dad sure don't preach to me. Don't try to get me to make a decision for God. Because I got a do not disturb sign on my heart. Did you know that when you have that do not disturb sign on your heart, you're missing all the precious things of God? God wants to do so much for us and with us. And he can't. Because we got a do not disturb sign there. I want my kids to get saved. I don't want them to go to hell. I want my grandkids to get saved. I don't want them to go to hell. I don't want my husband and wife to go to hell. I don't want mom and daddy to go to hell. I don't want the people I work with to go to hell. I don't want people in my neighborhood or the school I attend to go to hell. And I really feel that way, preacher. I really don't want them to go to hell. But look. Don't ask me to do it. Because I got a do not disturb sign on my heart. You just can't do much with them. And they're missing out on the most precious things. They'll sit in church, but their minds are elsewhere. Their eyes are roaming around the building. Let me say this. The problem is not with the eyes or the mind. The problem is the heart has the do not disturb sign on it. Listen to me. That's why if I sat down, I can't get up. I'm too old. That's... Oh, I wish I was at home and you were my people. I'd rip your heads off. We sat in church. Well, Reverend, bless me if you can. Instead of getting up this morning, God, I need something. Oh, God, I need something. God, if something don't happen soon, I'm going to be gone. If something don't happen soon, I'm going to have that do not disturb sign. If something don't happen soon, God, I won't have that fear. I'll lose that fear. God, I won't care if you come back or not. But matter of fact, for long, I hope you don't come back. So you see my grandkids and my great-grandkids. Greatest thing you ever do for your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids is take them to heaven with you. Do not disturb me. Leave me alone. I don't want nothing to do with that religious mess. By the way, there's a difference. Now stay with me now. There's a difference between being good and being godly. Does anybody listen to me? There's some good people out there going to hell. Because we didn't have enough gumption to go tell them how to be saved. There's a big difference between being good and being godly. Then lastly, we're sleepwalking. We're asleep concerning our eternity. We hear people say, well, some other time. Acts 24:25, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now's the time. Today's the day of salvation. We have people that's asleep concerning their eternity. But I have plenty of time. Oh, I invite you to go to any graveyard anywhere in the world and walk in between the graves. And you'll see on those graves a day of birth and a day of death. And sit here, if you like me, and use your fingers if you want to. You know what you'll find out? Death has no age limit. You'll see babies. You'll see teenagers. People in their 20s, 30s, 40s. And yeah, yes, you see old people. But death has no age limit. I got plenty of time. Think not, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. Listen, you could be dead tonight. You're going to get saved tomorrow, but you die tonight. Won't do you any good. Did you know most people that put it off never get saved? I have secured you. Today is the day. a salvation. Paul was witnessing to the big hierarchy, the governors and everybody. And they said, boy, you got me under conviction. But some convenient time. But that convenient time never came and it never got saved. We're asleep concerning eternity. Some other time. I have plenty of time. I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. Not according to Acts 26:28. Oh, here's a good Southern saying. Well, you can't really know if you're saved or not until you die. That's a dumb statement. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. You'll know after you die, I promise you. Someone asked me here recently, they did a telephone poll. I understand you're a, they call you a reverend. I don't like that. I understand you're a reverend down at the Baptist church. Yes, ma'am. Well, sir, we just want to know something. We're doing a survey. Do you believe in purgatory? Do you know of any Baptists that believe in purgatory? I said, yes, ma'am, I believe in purgatory. Oh, I got your attention, didn't I? She said, oh, you're a Baptist minister and you believe in purgatory? I said, yes. Purgatory's a place between hell and heaven where you decide which one you're going to go. Is that correct? Oh, yes, sir. I said, it's called earth. We're deciding right now whether we trust Christ and get saved or reject him and go to hell. This is purgatory. What will you do with it? When I was working way through college in Chattanooga, Tennessee, like I said, I was married and had kids when I got saved, so I was married and had kids when I went through college. There was a black guy named Denny Moore. We had a job, and they gave you a raise, Brother Ike. You got made more money. You're not a college student. Sorry, we said you got a family. You need that more money. But you had to dress in like a snowsuit and work in the freezer on eight straight hours. You couldn't even come out and take a break because then you'd get acclimated and have to go back in there. So for 8 hours, you took your breaks in there. You ate your meal in there in a freezer. And Denny and I was the only ones who worked in there. And I said, hey, Denny, I said, you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. He said, I cross that bridge when I get to it. Next night, hey, Denny, I've been praying for you all night, man. I don't want you to go to hell. Let me just open my Bible and show you how to be saved. And he said, I told you I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. I don't never want to hear this again. Several weeks go by and I never brought it up again. Stay with me. The Bible said if we don't speak to warn them, their blood will be on our hands. I showed up for work one day, and the manager came over, and he said, hey, man, did you hear about Denny? And I thought, rascal, got drunk, got in jail. I said, no, what did you do this time? He said, he went home last night and killed himself. Got high on drugs last night and killed himself. And brother, I couldn't stand. I literally melted to the floor. And I looked at my hands, and I thought, oh, bloody hands. Denny was asleep concerning his eternity. I was asleep concerning my service for God. Oh, I was walking. I was talking. Remember this. You do have a heart. And your heart door, God himself is saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him, or him with me. Now, watch this carefully. We take that do not disturb sign off our hearts today. Why don't we turn it around where it says, God help me. You used to get preach a sermon and people came to hear from God. And people be at the altar saying, God, that was me you were talking to, wasn't it? God, I don't want to do not disturb sign on my heart. God, I don't want to lose the fear of God in my life. And now I can't go to that altar. People think I'm a sinner. Let me take the mystery out of it. You are a sinner. But you know what I'm talking about. Years ago, these altars be full after somebody got to preach their heart out. And now we... a little Baptist salute. I just wonder today. Down in the South, where I happen to be this morning, people come to your house, and we go, "Hey, come on in." You know I'm telling you the truth. You go to any Southern house, that's what you tell people, really, Southerners are just transplants. And the Yankees that move down here ain't that way. But if you're born and raised around here, somebody knocks on your door, "Hey, y'all, come on in." Or some homes in the South, and my house is this way out in New Mexico, we don't lock the doors, even at night. People just walk into my house anytime they want to. And watch this carefully, and I'll close. When God comes knocking, do we say, "Come on in"? Or do we say, "Do not disturb"? Because God can't lie. You know what He said? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Not right now. "Nobody's home. I'm trying to get some sleep. Do not disturb." Won't we fall on our face and say, "Oh God, come on in"? If I was not saved, if I wasn't 100% sure I was going to heaven, this morning I say, "Oh God, come on in. Oh God, come on in." If I was saved, I'd be in an altar saying, "God, thanks for another chance. God, don't let me lose the fear of God. God, help me today to take off the sign on my heart that says, 'Do not disturb.' And God, You speak to me. Whatever it is You want, You want to use me. From this day forward, God, I'm Yours. You want me to give somebody a gospel tract? I'll give them a gospel tract. You want me to witness someone tell them I'd be saved? You want me to go out to the jails, the prisons? You want me to go through the neighborhoods? You want me to go buy an old van and start bringing people to church so they can hear the gospel? God, whatever it is, my do not disturb sign is coming off today. If you hear that you've never been saved, God made you a promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Watch this carefully. You can't fool God, and you can't fool yourself. You can fool me. But you know if you mean it or not when you call upon God, that's going to be saved. Guess what? God knows it too. God knows it too. But if you've already done that, you're already saved when you come to an altar. God knows if you're playing altar tag and going back or if you really mean it. If you're here and you're not saved, would you come? That me, brother, somebody, my wife, somebody. Would you let us open the Bible and show you how to be saved? Make sure, not think so, maybe so, hope so. Make sure you know how to go to heaven. I won't tell you what I believe. I'll open the Bible and show you what God Himself said you must do to go to heaven. You say, "Well, preacher, I know I'm saved." Don't play tag with the altar. Come do business at the altar. "Dear God, I'm removing today my do not disturb sign. Today, God, give me my fear of God back. And whatever it may be, God, I'll do it. I won't put it off any longer. What's on your heart? The do not disturb sign? God, I need your help. You see, I can't make that choice for you. You'll have to make that choice. Preacher, you come."